Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's an awful lot to talk about today, a lot to cram into the 60 minutes that I have with you this afternoon, and among the top things I want to get to is whether or not the rhinos, the GOP elite, have a secret agenda to stop Donald Trump and his mega party from succeeding. But I also want to talk to you a little bit about Fannie Willis and what's happened there, because the judge is dismissed. Eight of the counts against Trump and some of his allies that were under fire. We'll talk about that. But the very first thing I want to talk about is here in my home state of New York, Letitia James was roundly booed by firefighters here in New York City. Not only was she booed, but chants of Trump, 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 Trump echoed through the church in which she was giving a little bit of a speech for a nomination of, I forget who was being nominated, she was asked to speak. Firefighters clearly do not like her. Firefighters are clearly on Donald Trump's side here in New York. And then came the shocking news. Not only was Letitia James so indignant and so absolutely full of herself that she had the nerve to say, now, 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 calm down, everybody. You're in a house of God. As if she gives one damn where they're at. But then she says, I'm glad you're getting it out of your system. She was so clearly shocked. She was so clearly taken aback. Everyone in her little bubble thinks exactly like her. And some people can see her for who she really is, that she was alarmed. So alarmed that now we're being told that the people, the firefighters who were there, who booed her and chanted Trump, are going to be hunted down. Their words, not mine, hunted down for re-education. Let that sink in for a minute. We're going to hunt down the people who booed Letitia James and chanted Donald Trump's name, and then we're going to send them for re-education. When they were confronted about this by honest journalists who were a little bit concerned about the phrase hunted down and re-education, we were assured no one's hunting anyone down. No one ever said that. Incorrect. That's exactly what you said. That's exactly the press release you put out. The words hunted down is in there. The words re-education is in there. Then we're being told, no, you don't understand. It's not about a political ideology. It's about decorum, and it's about the policies we have. And the policies we have is that the firefighters are not supposed to show any ideologies. They're not supposed to make their voices heard that way. They're supposed to remain neutral. Well, let me tell you why you're totally full of it. If that audience had have cheered Letitia James and started chanting Biden, nothing would have happened. You know what would have happened? Everyone would have said, isn't this a wonderful thing? Freedom of speech. As you can see, the bravest of the brave, New York City's firefighters, are so firmly behind Joe Biden that they just couldn't hold themselves back from cheering his name and applauding the woman who was going to try to put him his political opponent behind bars. That's what they would have said. There would have been no release about hunting anybody down for showing favoritism or an ideology. It would have been perfectly fine. It would have been wonderful. The reason it's not wonderful is because it was for Donald Trump. So I want to ask our fire commission something very serious. If you're not allowed to boo, are you allowed to cheer? See, you said you have to remain neutral, which would indicate that if you cheered, you're not remaining neutral. Because booing and cheering, that would be freedom of speech. And if you're not allowed to exhibit freedom of speech during one of these things, then cheering is also probably not allowed, correct? I bet you that's not true. I bet you that everything would have been just fine if she were cheered and was given a hero's welcome, correct? So whose political ideology is really showing? The firefighters who chanted Trump's name and booed Letitia James off the podium? Or you, who've decided that because it wasn't the reaction you wanted, they need re-education. They need to be hunted down. This has gotten to the point, folks, where a law firm in New York City has offered free representation for any firefighter who is in any way reprimanded or fired or set upon due to what they decided to cheer or say during Latifah James' speech. Free. You know why those lawyers offered that? Because this is such a violation of your civil rights. And these lawyers are going to ask that very, very important question. What happens if they cheered? Would you have come down on them then and said you're showing your political ideologies and that's not a good thing? You need to be re-educated? Would you have done that? No. The answer is no, you would not have. At all. So this is a joke, folks. An absolute joke. And it shows who controls New York City and what they want to try to do to it. Now, I was asking the chat room if I'm going to address Bernie Sanders. I'm going to address this very, very briefly. Bernie Sanders came up with an idea of a four-day week work week for people, and they make the same amount of money, and it's going to be wonderful because you have an extra day off. Baloney. Baloney. He's an old communist, and what he wants to do is force businesses to hire more people so they can say, we created more jobs, but I want you to think about this logically. If you are literally making the same amount of money working 4 days a week rather than five, that business still has to be open. So they're going to have to hire more people, and they're going to have to pay more people. And guess what that is? That's just a fancy way of saying we want a higher minimum wage. Everything's going to go up. The businesses are not going to lose money. They're just going to pass it on to the consumer who's going to be paying more. And that person who thought, I can get along fine with a four-day week, suddenly can't afford to buy groceries, and they're going to have to get a second job, which means they're going to be working 7 days a week. It doesn't work. Period. It doesn't work. It's been tried. It failed. It doesn't work. Logic would tell you it's no different than getting a higher minimum wage. What's the difference whether you work 30 hours and make $1,000 or you work 40 hours and make the $1,000? Well, if they're going to make you have it 30 hours for the $1,000, that has raised your wage. Right? You're working 10 less hours. So your wage went up. If your wage goes up, what happens? Prices of the products go up. The people who own the business, they're going to have to hire somebody else to fill in for that day you're not there, or 2 days you're not there. And the price of the product goes up. Doesn't work. Disastrous idea. Bernie Sanders is not a serious politician. Bernie Sanders is what I would call a hack. He threatens to run for president. He knows he gets to keep all the campaign money that he doesn't use. He's never been serious in his life about actually becoming the president. And in the end, the Democratic Party buys him off, or whatever it happens to be, and he buys another house somewhere. He's so against the upper class that he said, millionaires have to pay big money taxes. We're talking about maybe 90%. Then he became a millionaire, and he changed it to, billionaire. Oh, when he becomes a billionaire, I guess it'll be a trillionaire, right? Right, Bernie? Disingenuous, liar, quasi-communist. Anyway, let me get to the Fannie Willis thing, because this is very interesting. Fannie Willis just had 8 of her charges dropped, one of them being one of the biggest ones, and that is the phone call that Trump made in Georgia that asked to find those votes. That's dropped. Now, there's two sides to this. The optimistic side is saying these are the most serious charges, and they're dropped. Charges against Rudy Giuliani dropped. The side is saying maybe this is the judge's way of giving both sides a little something, and he's not going to take Fannie Willis off this at all. He's just going to say the most serious charges are dropped. Then both sides are happy. I hope that's not the case. I hope this is a precursor that this judge is very serious, and he's already recognized that many of her charges were brought up for no other reason than political ideology, and she's about to get kicked to the curb, because that's exactly what she and Nathan Wade deserve. They're liars. They're political pundits when they're supposed to be absolutely neutral. The law is supposed to be neutral. And they deserve to be booted. They deserve to have the bar take a very good look at whether they can continue to even practice law after what they pulled. So, no, they should not be allowed to stay on the case. Now, again, if you're an optimist, you might be saying this is a sign that she's going to be kicked to the curb. If you're a pessimist, you might be saying this is a sign that the judge is trying to give everybody a little bit of something. I don't know which one is right. We're going to find out soon enough, because the judge has said he doesn't have to wait too much longer. He thinks he's about ready to make his ruling on this. And it'll be very, very important, a very important ruling. Because if this whole thing is dropped, this is a major blow. Because what it's basically doing is showing the American people all of these charges that are brought against Donald Trump are bogus charges. They can't even hold up in a court of law when the person who's the judge has actually contributed to the campaign of the person prosecuting him. So this will be a very, very important ruling, folks. Cross your fingers that justice is still alive and well in this country. I'm not 100% sure of it. But now let's get to the main crux of this show. And that is Ken Buck. For the benefit of people who may not know who Ken Buck is, and I can understand why, because he's a do-nothing. Ken Buck he represents Colorado in the 4th Congressional District in the House of Representatives. And he had told people that he was going to step down after the end of this year, which is fine. And now he's decided, no, I'm not even going to wait that long. I'm going to step down right now. Right now. This week's my last week, which reduces the margin in the House by one more Republican. We're getting dangerously close, folks. Dangerously close to having basically lost the majority in the House. But that's not enough for Ken Buck. If Ken Buck wanted to step down and really represent the people, he should have stuck to his word and waited to the end of the year. He's disingenuous. He's a liar. He cries about, oh, they're not doing enough about January 6th. No, you're not doing enough about January 6th, because the people who are really doing the work are finding out in leaps and bounds that this was a setup. An absolute 100% setup, and far from an insurrection. makes you wonder what's going on with Ken Buck. But he steps down because his GOP cronies aren't doing what he thinks is right. And then he leaves us with this. When asked, well, did any of the GOP pressure you to stay? Because after all, you're reducing their majority by one. Did anybody try to, you know, convince you to stay, or are they upset with you or worried about it? His statement was they should be worried about the next three because more are coming. Think about that for a minute. That's a threat. Do you know what that is? That is the elitist rhino Republicans saying, kicking and screaming like a child, saying, if Donald Trump is our nominee, I'm leaving, and you won't have the majority. And Akeem Jeffries will be the new Speaker of the House because we didn't get our way. We don't want Donald Trump. Here's what you've got to understand. It doesn't matter what you want. It does not matter if every single one of you sitting in that House does not want Donald Trump to be the president. If the people of the United States want him to be the president, he's the president. You don't get to decide that. You get one vote just like everybody else does. Your vote's no more important or no less important than mine or anybody else's. But you think you got leverage. I happen to know a few more Republicans who may just vacate their seat if you don't do what we say, and then you won't have the majority. You are trying to hold your party ransom. What the hell are you so afraid of? All of you never Trump GOP members, what the hell are you so afraid of? It makes me seriously wonder. You could say what you want about Donald Trump. You can say he lost the last election fair and square. You can say some of his words caused people to riot at the Capitol. Can't say. He wasn't a successful president. He was a very successful president. Very successful. Great economy. Respected throughout the nation as well as abroad. For some reason, you don't want them. Now, you would think that the GOP would be smart enough to say the GOP is changing. The GOP is no longer going to be represented by weak-kneed, unwilling to fight back, mealy-mouthed politicians who promise things knowing they're never going to get it done. And in their stead is going to be younger politicians who took Donald Trump's policies to heart and said, this worked for America. And it's inspired us to be those hard-nosed Republicans who stick to our guns and don't back down and fight hard, you know, like the Democrats do. Do you see any of the Democrats saying, I'm leaving because Joe Biden is senile? And I don't want him to be our nominee. And if you're going to make him our nominee, he's just going to lose to Trump. And we're not going to let that go unnoticed. So I'm stepping down. I don't want Joe Biden to be the president. I'm stepping down. No, every single one of them, even the ones who vastly disagree with him, and there are many, especially in the squad, right? They're all going to say, oh, I can't support some of the things he does, but I'll gladly vote for him, and I'm going to stay right here. Stick together. They realize they can do more if their party stays in power than if their party doesn't. Unlike the Republicans, who say, well, if I don't get my way, if I don't get a George Bush type in there, I'm going to take my ball and go home. Everybody who voted for this idiot, I want you to take a good look at him. He deserted you. You gave him your vote. You put him in the position he's in. And what did he do for you? I quit. That's what he did for you. I quit. And then threatened that there's more people who are going to quit unless we do something to stop Donald Trump. Well, this is the thing. That's what they're threatening the GOP with. Okay, you'll have Trump, but you won't have the majority in the House, and you probably won't have the majority in the Senate. And I know there's going to be some people who say, well, didn't Lauren Boebert say she was going to try to win that seat that he was vacating? Yeah, which is great. I like Lauren Boebert, but listen, she was going to run in her own district. Now she's switching districts, so that district's going to be up. Can't run in both. So there you go. We're hanging on to a very slim majority. Three more people walk out, and you'll be calling Hakeem Jeffries Speaker of the House. And Mike Johnson will be out on his ear. And guess what Hakeem Jeffries will do? All of these investigations into Biden, gone, finished, done. We're not doing them. Exactly what he'll do. And that's what some of these Republicans want. Because if you think for one moment that Joe Biden, who is crooked as he possibly can be, is the only one, you're nuts. People working right alongside him in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party who are just as dirty. You notice it's like rats jumping off a sinking ship. Uh-oh, shit, Donald Trump did get the nomination. We couldn't, Nikki Haley couldn't stop him after all. It doesn't look like the court cases are going to stop him. This is not good. I just looked at the recent poll numbers, and he's obliterating Joe Biden in crucial swing states. I'm retiring. What does that tell you? That's rats jumping off the sinking ship, right? Before they go underwater. Because they know their ass is grass, that's why. They know they're dirty. They know they're up to their necks in it. And they know Trump is going to expose this nonsense. So when you see these rats scurrying, our plan to put them in jail may not work. Our plan to have Nikki Haley usurp half of his votes didn't work. I guess I better disappear. Ah, there you go. Interesting, right? It's pathetic. It's pathetic. The mega party is the Republican Party. This is what everybody's interested in. The younger generation now that are Republicans or are leaning toward being Republicans are moving toward Trump's policies. Not the old GOP, not the rhinos. They don't want that. I don't want that. It's pathetic, folks. And it's a plan. This has been planned. And I want you to be very careful of these court cases or these hearings, I should say, not court cases. These hearings that's going on with Hunter Biden and the Biden family. I want you to be very cautious. And I'll tell you why. I do trust Jim Jordan, but Jim Jordan could be being misled too. And I wonder if it's just remotely possible that when all is said and done here, the GOP is going to say, yeah, we got nothing. And they're going to be the laughingstock, and no one's going to vote for them. They're going to say, well, we thought we had Joe Biden, but apparently some of our people lied, and we don't have the evidence, and we're not really sure now. And then all of the GOP voters who were saying, we're putting our faith in you to nail this guy to the wall, like you said, are going to say, you know what? Forget it. Forget it. You're liars. And then you get four more years of Joe Biden. Is that what you want? Because you're not going to get four more years of Joe Biden. You're going to get one more year if you're lucky, and then you're going to get Kamala Harris. It's exactly what you're going to get. I don't know. When your own party is trying to sabotage you, or at least some of your own party is trying to sabotage you right in front of your eyes, that's bad. Now, there is some good news. Trump basically now has the GOP. He's got Laura Trump in there, and she cleaned house, and she's putting some people in play that are mega Republicans that are going to fight for us. And guess what we're seeing? We're seeing Hispanics who were told, oh, Hispanics would never vote for Donald Trump. They see how racist he is toward Hispanic people. All of a sudden, we're starting to see Hispanic people are edging their way to Trump. He has more support than Joe Biden. Then we're starting to say, oh, the African-American community would never consider Trump. He's a racist. He's this. He's a white supremacist. He was called a white supremacist by a representative in the House the other day. She should be relieved of her duties. She has no evidence to that. That's just her opinion based on the fact she doesn't like him. I don't like his policies. I'll just call him a white supremacist. Yeah, a white supremacist who gave money, not lended, gave money to first-time black business owners to open up their businesses and then said, you don't even have to repay me. Just go run your business. It's a racist. That's a white supremacist. You know, the one that Oprah said was a wonderful guy. That's a white supremacist. You know, the one that Al Sharpton gave awards to for his work in the black community. Yeah, that's a white supremacist. But they don't care because they'll lie right to you. It doesn't mean anything to them. Kamala Harris basically said that Joe Biden was, and now she's his vice president. She said Joe Biden is a segregationist. She also said she believed that the women who came forward to say Joe Biden sexually abused them were telling the truth. So she called the current president of the United States a segregationist and a predator. And she's his vice president, and now he's the most wonderful man in the world. Couldn't run the country without good old Joe. Because that's the game politicians play, folks. That's the game they play. It's pro wrestling. I'll say whatever I need to say about my opponent. Even if none of it's true and I don't believe a word of it. And we're buddy-buddy afterwards. Because the ultimate goal is just get me in power. Donald Trump broke that mold. Donald Trump came in and said half of these Republicans are worthless. He's right. He didn't come in and say every Republican is wonderful. They're all just so magnificent and so moralistic. No, he said, I'm draining the swamp. And that includes half of these Republicans or swamp creatures. It's the first time you heard the truth being spoken. See, politicians are like the little guys that run around in the white vans offering free lollipops to kids to get them in the van. How about a four-day work week, but you get paid the same? How about a raise in minimum wage? How about we take and erase your school loan debt, college debt? How about we give you this? How about we give you that? Here's your candy. Up into the van. And weak-willed people say, okay, that sounds good. I'll take the candy. I'm tired of that. It's time for people to grow a set. You can't always look out for just what politicians are saying because they'll lie to you. They'll lie right to your face. Donald Trump has a track record. I'm self-employed. I can't tell you the amount of money I saved. I'm not rich. I can't tell you the amount of money I saved in his tax plan. A lot. It made a substantial difference. I remember when gas was $2 a gallon because it wasn't long ago. I remember when hamburger was $2.25 a pound. It wasn't very long ago. I remember when the Dollar Tree was actually a dollar because it wasn't very long ago. I remember when pet food was a dollar a can, not $2 a can, because it wasn't very long ago. And now we have electric bills up, gas up. What do you think that does? How do you think products get to a store? By magic? Or do you think they have to be shipped there? Do you think gasoline is involved? Do you think tolls are involved? Do you think electric's involved in producing the product? When all of that goes up, and then your president, during a State of the Union address, has the nerve to say they're greedy by reducing the amount of product in the box, you've lost sight. Their production cost is up by 30%. What would you like them to do? Raise the price 30%? And then nobody's going to buy it? I just walked into a store and saw a bag of Doritos that I could fit in the palm of my hand that probably doesn't have more than 10 chips in that bag. It's $2.49. I remember when a family-sized bag was $3 because it was not very long ago at all, folks. Like 2019. Why, do you ask? Well, why would that be? Why would these people raise the prices when they know that people are making less, that people are watching their pennies, that people are very concerned about their grocery bill? Why then would you raise the prices at a time when people are feeling a pinch? Wouldn't that be self-destructive? Of course it would be. They don't want to raise the prices. In fact, they'd probably like to lower them. See, if I owned a corporation and I knew people are struggling financially, they're not going to buy my Doritos at $4 a bag. So what I'll do, since the production cost, if the production cost was exactly the same, I'd say, well, put less chips in and charge three and a quarter a bag. I wouldn't say, put less chips in and charge more, because that's self-defeating. Then they're really not going to buy it. Joe Biden is wrong. This economy is horrible. And yet, the Rhino Republicans will try everything they can to derail this MAGA movement because they fear it. And you know why they fear it, folks? Donald Trump has nothing to lose. He wants to give the power back to you. He does. They call him a dictator. He is the last possible thing removed from a dictator. He wants to give the power back to the people. Less government. You go live your life the way you want. Don't rely on us. We're not here to be your mother and father. We're not here to be your overseer. We're just here to do your bidding and help when we can. We're not your crutch. We're not your saviors. Go live your life. That's what Trump and MAGA is all about. Just go live your life. But I want you to understand, and there are people who are legitimately in need of welfare and food stamps and all that stuff. I know there are people who legitimately need that stuff. So guess what the Democrats do? Oh, if you vote for him, he's going to take it away. Your kids will starve. You'll have nothing. That's blackmail. That's not true. And you should know that's not true, because he was the president for 4 years. Did anything get taken away? No. You know what did get taken away? The people who didn't deserve it, who were mooching off it, who were saying, what the hell, man? I'll stay home and play my game system. I can make money. I don't have to work. Because you know what that's doing? That's taking money and that's taking food right out of the mouths of people who really can't. Trump is beginning to clean that up a little bit. All of a sudden, that's a horrible thing. You can't cheat the system. Hey, all you people who are cheating the system, you better vote for the Democrats. We'll keep letting you cheat the system. Trump won't let you keep cheating the system. He'll crack down on it. Well, this is the same thing with Bernie Sanders. So here's the candy, jump in the van. Except nothing Bernie says ever makes any sense at all. Ever. We want a 90% tax rate on millionaires. Then Bernie became a millionaire, and all of a sudden it's like, no, to hell with that. Now we want a 90% tax on billionaires. So they get to keep a dime out of every dollar they make. If somebody told me you can only keep a dime out of every dollar you make and the rest is going to the government, I'm leaving the country. I'll go start my factories in a different country. And then they'll get the benefit of all the jobs that I offer. They'll get the benefit of the manufacturing, not the United States. Doesn't the United States want the stuff manufactured here? Don't you want the jobs created here? Well, you don't do that by taxing the very people who create those jobs to the point where they can't pay it or won't pay it, because then they just leave. I gave this example way back when Donald Trump was first running for president, and he was talking about this, and I said, you literally have companies going over to China to make the product that are American companies. And the reason they're going over there is because, A, they can make it cheaper. B, there is no fees to send it to the United States, so then it can be cheaper for the consumer. The reason is, let's say you have air conditioners, for instance. The Chinese pays people 10 cents an hour over there. There's no taxation to bring it into this country. There's no fees. So they can sell an air conditioner for $99, and 50% of that, 60% of that's profit. In the meantime, somebody who's manufacturing air conditioners over here, you got to pay $22 an hour and full health insurance and benefits and this and that and the other thing. And by the time you get done paying all that, that same air conditioner that they're selling for $99, you got to sell for $150, or you didn't make any money. And then the American consumer says, I guess I'll get the $99 one. I don't really see the difference, and that's a good deal. And then that company goes out of business. I mean, that's just basic economics. You're going to make your product where you can literally make it the cheapest you can and make the most profit on it. And if that's not the United States, then it's not. And I got news. If you're going to be taxed 90% where you only get to keep a dime of a dollar, you ain't staying here. There won't be anything manufactured in the United States of America under a code like that. And that's what the Democrats kind of secretly want anyway. They want to own everything. You don't own your house anymore. You don't own your property anymore. You don't own your car anymore. We own it. Oh, well, then they control you. They're your mother and your father. You know, you're living in your mother and father's house. And they say, you can only borrow the car if you do what I tell you to. You're only getting your allowance if you do what I tell you to. If you don't clean your room, you're not getting this. You're not getting that. That's what they want to be. Do you remember when you were young and you said, I can't wait. I can't wait so I can go out on my own and do what I want, and I don't have to follow their rules and do what they tell me when they tell me to for me to be able to live. I can't wait to have freedom. Now you want to give it away again. Now you want to give it right back, only this time you're going to give it to the politicians, and they'll tell you what to do, and they'll tell you where you can go, and they'll tell you what you can drive and what you can eat and what words you can say and where you can work and when you can work. We got a big decision to make in this country. Do you want to be free, or do you want to be fat house cats who get punished when they don't use the litter box and get rewarded when they do something their masters want them to do? Because if that's what you want, then you need to vote Democrat, because that's what they want you to be. If you want to be free and you want to keep more of your money and you want to work hard but succeed, you need to vote Republican, because that's what Donald Trump wants you to do. See, Donald Trump said something that was so basic but so true that a lot of people just kind of glazed over it and didn't realize how true and how hard-hitting it was. He said, when you succeed individually, whether you succeed because you graduate, whether you succeed because you open a business and it's successful, whether you succeed because you started in sales and now you're a manager, when you succeed, the United States succeeds and becomes a stronger country. When you fail and you have to rely on the government, we fail. He's right. That is exactly correct. The stronger you are, the more you succeed, the stronger this country becomes. Period. You know, for every story you hear of, I'm 60 years old and I'm working in McDonald's and it's not fair because it's not a living wage and I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't really support myself on McDonald's. There's 100 stories of 16-year-old kids who said, I worked at McDonald's. I busted my ass. I got yelled at, screamed at, called a moron. worked extra hours, busted my ass, nobody gave a damn. And then I became assistant manager. And then I became the manager. And then when I was 22 years old, I opened my own restaurant. And now I'm 40 years old. And I got $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 in the bank. I got three restaurants. That's the way it's supposed to work. These jobs are entry-level jobs. They teach you. You learn from them. You're not there to profit hugely. You're not there to earn a living so much as you are to say, I'm getting compensation and I'm gaining experience for a better job. That's the way it goes. So if you're 60 and you're working at McDonald's, you failed. And because you failed, the country failed. Because now we have to boost you up. The people who succeeded have to boost you up. Because you decided, I'm not going to succeed. I'll let the government take care of me. If I fall short, the government has to pick up my slack. If I don't feel like working, the government's going to have to make me have earn a living. And like I said, for every story there is of that, there's a story of the guy who was the plumber's apprentice and worked long hours and got yelled at and screamed at and called a moron, and now he owns the plumbing business and he's doing very well, or electrical business and he's doing very well, and he has employees underneath him. That's the way it's supposed to work, folks. So when politicians just come around and say, we'll give you more money to flip a burger. You work too hard. Take an extra day off. What they're really saying is, fail. We want you to fail so that you need us. And then when you need us and you come crawling to us, we'll set the rules for how we're going to help you. And part of those rules are, you know who you're voting for. There's nothing wrong with working 5 days a week and earning a living. There's nothing wrong with that, that you have off. If you don't like that, bust your ass, work your 5 days a week, and open your own business where you don't have to work any days a week. How many stories can I tell you of people who went to BOCES-type schools to learn how to work on cars, and then they got an apprenticeship in a garage where they worked for very little money, and they became very well known as a good mechanic, and then they opened up their own mechanic shop and busted their ass and busted their ass and busted their ass long hours to earn the trust of their customers, and then said, okay, I'm going to hire some kids now. And at 40 years old, they're sitting back. Once in a while, they might work on a car. The rest of the time, they're sitting in the office controlling the books, and they got mechanics working on their car because they earned it. They earned the right now to sit back and not work so hard. What makes anybody think that at a young age, you've earned the right to just sit back and not work hard? Let's take that as a sports analogy. How about if you're an A-ball and you say, I don't know, man. This is very hard work. I just send me to the majors. You're not getting there. You got to bust your ass to even get to double A. And then you better bust your ass harder if you want to get to triple A. And even then, that's no guarantee of success. And there's no government to come along and say, this isn't fair. I know he's only hitting 140 in double A, but put him in the lineup in the major leagues. He needs to earn a living, better living than this. They don't do that, folks. There's people who succeed. There's people who fail. The people who fail have to go find something else to do for a living. They're not a baseball player. Okay? Well, you made those decisions yourself. Instead of more focus in this country being on learning a trade in school, no, it's much more important we learn diversity training. It's much more important we hear about how you have white privilege. It's much more important you hear about how there's a million different genders and sexualities. It's more important than that to say, let's teach you a trade so that when you get out of high school, you actually have something to offer an employer. Don't want to do that. That's too practical. That's too hard on them. They have to have at least three classes about diversity and white privilege and gender inclusivity that's going to do exactly nothing for you when you get into the real world. And to hell with learning anybody a trade. How come more of our focus isn't on teaching kids in school a trade that they can be successful with? I mean, we have right in front of our eyes the next generation of people who would be great with computers. You know, I have a little niece who probably is smarter when it comes to computers than I am. Came natural, you know. How come you can't teach that in school then? So that when she gets out of school, be like, listen, this is a great computer programmer, great person to work on computers, whatever it happens to be. How come you can't do that? Because they don't want to do it. They want to keep you dumb and poor because then they control you. So when you see people like Ken Buck stepping down because he doesn't want Donald Trump there, when you see him threatening the GOP with you're going to lose the majority in the House because I know other people who's going to walk, what he's really saying is we're losing power over the people. And I want that power. That's why I became a politician. Because I want the power. You see, this is why Donald Trump is so different. Almost every one of these other politicians got into political office because they couldn't do nothing else. They're too lazy to work hard. They don't have a trade. So they figured, oh, I'll live off the government. I'll get the job as a politician. I'll start out and maybe I'll become the mayor of my town and do nothing. And then I'll try to become something else and something else. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a nice fat salary for sitting my ass in a $4,000 leather chair and saying, I vote no, I vote yes. But Donald Trump didn't. He was the guy who was building jobs. He was the guy who was out there as a businessman, creating incomes, creating job opportunities, creating a billion-dollar empire. He understands how the game works. That's hard work. You know, I've heard a lot of people say Barack Obama aged 30 years in 8 years. Yeah, couldn't take the stress because he never had a real job. I hear people saying Joe Biden ran straight downhill, man. He started out being a little bit whatever, and now he's practically a weekend at Bernie. Donald Trump hasn't. Do you notice Donald Trump looks about the same? Because he's used to it. He's used to the stress. He's used to the hard work. He's used to the long hours. He's used to rolling up his sleeves and saying, I'm going to get a job done. Not saying, I don't know, it's too hard. Because despite the fact that he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, his father at least instilled in him that hard work makes a difference. And then along comes guys like Bernie Sanders who say, hard work it's too hard. Work less. That's the secret to success. Work less. Work less hard. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Now I'm going to tell you what the secret is. The secret is this. Pride. I don't know a lot of people who listen to this show. If you wanted to hire me, let's say I didn't have a show. Let's say I didn't have a different career. And you wanted to hire me to move you and help you move stuff out of your house, and you want to give me a fair compensation for it, I will do the very, very best I can to make sure your stuff is well guarded, taken out in an expedient manner, and put wherever you're moving in perfect condition, because I care. But I got a newsflash. If I do know you and you're moving, and you ask me to help you move, and it's going to be for free, I'm still doing the same thing. Nothing's changing because I take pride in it, whether I'm getting paid for it or not. I'm so tired of watching people at McDonald's literally stand there like they're bored going, yeah, can I help you? What can I do for you? If you hate the job so much, don't have it. You're representing the people who give you the money. If you don't think it's enough money, go get a different job. If you can't get a different job, whose fault is it? But while you're accepting that money, you do the best you can. I tell a story to my friends. I don't think I've ever told it here. I'll tell it briefly, then I'll go to the phones. I went into a Kentucky Fried Chicken a couple of years ago. It was a mess. There were 14 people waiting for food, 17 people in line, people screaming, I didn't get the right thing. I didn't get my order done. I only got half my order. Can I make my order? I'm waiting. Five people behind the counter couldn't get it done. One guy comes out from behind the counter. He couldn't have been 20 years old. And he certainly wasn't the manager. And said, okay, look, if you have already ordered, go over here. We're going to run the receipts one at a time. If you're waiting to order, go over here. These people will take your order. There's going to be like a 10-minute wait because we got hit hard. But we're going to try to get the orders done first that have already been taken, and then we're going to take your orders. Within 5 minutes, everything was fine. The place calmed down. People were getting their food. People were ordering their food. It was fine. And it was so remarkable to me that when I got my turn to come up to the counter, I said to the guy, you need to be the manager. Because you took charge without being asked, and you solved a problem. That's what's needed. Not a college degree. Not an ethics degree. Not diversity training. That's what's needed. Pride. To say, I'm here. This is getting to be a mess. Let me fix it. He didn't own the place. He didn't have a vested interest in the place. Not making any more than anybody else that was there. But he had pride. And he solved the problem. And this guy someday is going to be much more successful than dishing out chicken at a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I can guarantee you that. And that's how America succeeds. How they fail is when people say, this is too hard and it's too busy and I don't feel I should be worked this hard for the money I'm making, so F the people who ordered this chicken. I don't give a damn if you get your order or not. Those are the people who are going to fail. And then they're going to ask the government, help me. I failed. I can't work this hard. It's too tough for me. I need to stay home more. I need more money. As if more money is going to solve the problem. This is what we need to learn as a country. So when Ken Buck quits, he's that person at McDonald's. He's that person that walks out of McDonald's and says, no, sorry, too hard. Instead of Ken Buck saying, if this is the way the Republican Party's going, I'll do my best for my constituents, but at the end of the year, like I said, I'm stepping down. No, he didn't do that. He quit. That's not how America succeeds. Let me go to the phones. Tommy, you there?
I am here. And Marcus, you made very excellent points throughout this broadcast. I'm going to make an analogy. It might be a little bit controversial, but the government, the Democratic Party, is the equivalent of no more than a Colombian drug lord or in the Mexican cartels. They're getting you addicted. They're getting the people that they're supposedly supposed to be representing addicted to their assistance. We're giving you this, so you give us your vote and we'll give you the drugs. Basically, we'll give you the money if you give us the vote, and you can work 3 days a week, 4 days a week. You don't have to work at all. We'll just give you a big fat check or a big fat bag of drugs to keep you happy. That's pretty much what
it is. It's really not that bad of an analogy because that's what it is. It's again, it's the guy in the van offering you candy. Now let me ask you a question. If you were a kid who said, I don't need free candy. I work around the house and my folks give me enough money to give me candy, for me to buy candy. I'll buy my own candy. I don't need to go in a stranger's van to get any. Then you're not failing, right? See what I mean? The more you allow other people to control your destiny, the more you fail. You have to be the author of your own fate. You have to be the person who says, I am going to go and do what I need to do. And then if I do that, I succeed. Now, nobody, very few people, I'm sure there are some, very few people start out with the ability to say, I'm opening my own business right from high school or college, and I'm not working for anybody. There are people who've done it, but it's not common to work hard. And they come home and they say, I hate my boss. My boss is mean, and they yell at me. Okay, learn from the experience. You hate it. I was where everybody was. Same thing. I worked at McDonald's when I was a kid. I worked jobs where the bosses were lousy, and I said, I know more than the boss. These bosses are idiots. If they'd let me do it my way, I'd succeed. But they won't. So what did I do? Did I quit and say, I'm just going to go on government assistance? I'm just going to let the government tell me what to do? I'm just going to have to find a job where they'll pay me a living wage and I do nothing? No. I said, I'm just going to open my own business. I'm going to be self-employed. And I was able to succeed. If I failed, which I could have, then I would have went and found another job and I would have put up with it until I could try again to succeed on my own. But the minute you start to get the mentality of I'm relying upon the people I vote for to save me, you're owned. I'm sorry, you're owned. And that's why they're having people pour into this country. They own them. Could they deport them in a heartbeat? Oh, you betcha. And they would. But what they're going to try to do, as I've said many times, they're going to try to get them to be able to vote and build a whole new voting base off them, Tom. And this is why they're starting to realize the American people are rejecting being owned.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And remember, it was not too long ago where I think it was BlackRock that actually put out the commercial that said, imagine a world where you own nothing, but you're happy.
Well, yes, here we are. Absolutely.
Well, here we
are. Here we are. And you know when they put that commercial out? About 10 seconds after Joe Biden was elected the president of the United States. And then they pulled it because they realized maybe too much too soon. But that's what they want. And people like Ken Buck, who take his ball and go home, to try to derail a movement that basically says people first, government second. You're the reason America fails. You're the very reason that America fails. The people who say, I will go vote for whatever politician says I don't have to pay my bills. You're the reason America fails. The people who say, I want $27 to say, welcome to Burger King, how can I help you? You're the reason America fails. You have to understand your worth, and you have to understand that you can build yourself up. You can work at McDonald's this year, and 3 years from now, you can own a McDonald's. You just need work ethic. I hope that I'm not wrong when I say that's what the majority of America really wants.